the What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
On Sunday, Northern Ireland took to the field in their first major football tournament since the 1986 World Cup in Mexico. That game on Sunday was also their first ever appearance at the Euros on the back of a record unbeaten run of 12 games. On the phone with me right now, I've got the editor of the Northern Ireland Football League website, Martin Harris. Hello, Martin.
How you doing? How you doing?
So how are you feeling one day on after the game?
Slightly optimistic. 1-0 was a decent result on reflection, given how we played against Poland. Couple of our poor finishing. Disappointing result to lose. First game, big game, you know, all the hype and build-up, you know, it sort of fell fairly flat on the day, but you know, the players seemed to let the occasion get to them. I thought they lacked confidence, but as the game wore on and as we sort of brought more and more substitutes in, especially in the second half, you know, there was a bit of a sense and self-belief that we could possibly nick something from the game. You know, especially with Connor Washington come on towards the end, you know, he seemed to give everybody a bit of a lift.
Yeah,
you know, so we could have nicked something at the end, but except on reflection, 1-0 was as good as it could have been.
Yeah, and I suppose Northern Ireland, they held off Poland in the first half, which is no mean feat really when you think about it, because they were the top scoring team in the qualifiers. How did you find the defence, the defensive game, I guess, that they employed?
Well, that's fun. If I was actually pleased to get the half-time scoreless, because we don't have a propensity to score a lot of goals, the defence is our strong point, and we did do okay. You know, the defence did more or less do its job. It always was going to be the sort of first few minutes of the second half was going to tell the tale of the game, and unfortunately they scored 5 or 6 minutes in, and then after that, you know, our defence still held on, but up front there was nothing happening, so there was no way really back. But yeah, the defence did what it had to do.
Yeah, and Michael O'Neill kind of said a day or two before the game that he thinks you can win a game without the ball, or kind of words to that effect. So it's not surprising, really, that a lot of effort went into defence on the day. But when you look at the stats, I guess, 18 shots Poland had on goal and 2 to Northern Ireland. Do you think that's going to be a problem for Northern Ireland in the tournament?
Possibly not now, after seeing what happened yesterday. I mean, Kyle Lafferty was up. We felt he looked very, I don't know how it looked on TV, but certainly from my vantage point, he looked very, very isolated up front, and he got more and more frustrated. And as I said, when Connor Washington came on to join him up front, it almost seemed like a different team, because it was just this lift sort of seemed to go through everybody, you know, both on the stands and on the pitch. You know, it almost changed things. So I'm no great tactician, but my belief is that things will change a lot before the Ukraine game on Thursday night. So we might not be as toothless in front of the goal as we were.
Yeah. How do you think O'Neill will change the game plan going forward?
Probably, I can't remember the name of the fella, the Polish fella. He tore us apart down the left wing yesterday. I think that's because we started with 3 defenders. So I think that will change. I think we'll maybe start 4-5-1 or something, you know, or maybe 4-4-2 even. But certainly, I think the defence will be added to, and Kyle Lafferty will get a bit more of a support up front, because he did seem very isolated against Poland. So
you think O'Neill will kind of support more kind of up forward then?
Yeah, well, plus we have, I was going to say, but nothing to lose. We have to win.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we can draw and then beat Germany, but I mean, let's be realistic about that. You know, we have to beat Ukraine, so we will have to go for it. Both managers will go for it, so it could be a quite entertaining game from that perspective, from neutral. You know, both teams having to win and just push for it, and certainly we have to push more up front if we have to get anything from it, because it showed yesterday that nothing, the tactics he did employ didn't work, in my opinion. But you know, I'm no tactician, so
I suppose that's the thing with tournament football at this stage now. Northern Ireland have nothing to lose. They got to go for it, really, and they got to go hard for it. What kind of who performed well for you yesterday, do you think?
I personally thought Stephen Davis did well. I mean, talking to a few fans afterwards, and they didn't. You know what? I personally thought, you know, possibly because I'm biased because he's from my hometown, but I personally thought, you know, the man put in a shift. Stuart Dallas, when he came on at half time, you know, I think did quite well. And Paddy McNair possibly was a weak spot because he you know, straight off with FaceTime, and it did seem slightly different after that. And again, Connor Washington, even though he only had maybe a quarter of an hour, whatever it was, to sort of make an impression again, he definitely did something to that team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you can say somebody played well after a quarter of an hour, you know, he's your man. But certainly Stephen Davis, for me, was my pick of an average bunch when you say pick of a bat.
Yeah. Now, we did mention it was it's Northern Ireland's first kind of international tournament game in over 30 years, and the first Euros as well for Northern Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the atmosphere like? Because you were there. You were at the game yesterday, weren't you?
Yeah, I arrived. I mean, I was in Nice from 10 o'clock yesterday morning, and the whole town was absolutely bouncing. Fans of both teams were having a whale of a time. But I arrived in the ground an hour before kickoff, and the noise was deafening. You know, I took a few videos of it. You know, the stands were shaking. They just,
wow.
Both sets of supporters, you know, up and down. You know, it really was for an hour before kickoff. You know, usually, you know, at home, you know, people bail in the last maybe 5 or 10 minutes to go. You know, but certainly, and then in the ground once again after the sort of the emotional kickoff. You know, first appearance in European Championships, first in the finals for 30 years. You know, after that emotion, you know, again, the songs and the chant, and they're always almost like a sing-off. You know, Poland had to go in and we had to go in and Poland had to go meet. You know, it was electric atmosphere. It really, really was good, you know, for such a big ground. And, you know, I think what helped as well, it was I was high up, but still had an excellent view. So it was a large ground, but it was compact, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Everybody was on top of the pitch, and that helped.
Yeah,
you know, help the atmosphere as well, but certainly, yeah, fantastic to experience it.
I suppose after the defeat, then what was the atmosphere like amongst fans afterwards?
As soon as the final whistle went, the Polish fans, Poland players went over to celebrate in their corner. Obviously, we started singing and bouncing and chanting and roaring and going on. You know, and if we had won, you know, because it's just you know, it was almost like a sense of defiance, like we've got beaten here. But hey, we're not going to stop having a party, you know. On the way back, buses on the way back and stuff. You know, even in the airport, you know, in Nice Airport is a soul destroying place. But even then, you know, for a couple of hours after that, as we were waiting to go home again, you know, we're singing and chanting, and you know, it was just a totally enjoyable experience. You know, the result was almost secondary to some people. You know, they were just there to have a good time.
Yeah, I suppose away from the pitch, then Northern Ireland supporters are actually picking up some fans themselves. Lots of great stories and pictures online, and there's one video I saw today of Northern Irish and Polish supporters singing "Will Griggs on Fire." Now, this song has, this chant even has gone a bit viral in the last few weeks. It's even charted in the iTunes mm-hmm. UK Top 100 as well. Did you hear any "Will Griggs on Fire" last night?
I actually, there's a pub in Nice, which I just happened to be walking past, and actually stumbled across our fans teaching the Polish fans the song or the chant. And so I stood and watched this. And so we did it a few times, you know, and the pub actually got under the spirit of things, so they played over the system under the street.
Yeah.
So we did it, Northern Ireland fans did it a few times, and then we stood back and the Poles started. So they you know, and it was absolutely, it was hilarious to watch.
Yeah.
You know, them sort of getting in on the act. it's slightly bewildering for us because he's a fringe player. I mean, he didn't pick a ball during the qualifiers. Obviously, he'd been doing the stuff for Wigan.
Yeah.
You know, so it did take us a wee bit of surprise, but we fully embraced it.
Yeah.
You know, and it was hilarious seeing the Polish fans, you know, joining in. And but that summed up the entire day.
Yeah.
You know, there was other parts in Nice, you know, I was just sort of strolling about.
Mm.
And it was every corner, there were these fans having sing-offs and dance-offs. And, you know, there was one video I took myself. There was a Polish fan, his nine fella, you know, his name was Aaron, going by what's in the back of his shirt.
Yeah.
And he was dancing and jigging about, you know, with the Northern Ireland fans. And it was, you know, it was so good to see, so funny. And it just summed up, you know, everything you hear about, you know, fans abroad and stuff, you know, just there to have a good time and don't worry about anything else. And,
Yeah.
You know, but certainly, yeah, well, Greg Chant, great fun, but it's only just one of the many songs we have. So it's, you know, I got his turn, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the main thing.
Well, this is the spirit of football, isn't it? Kind of sharing chants and kind of enjoying it. Kind of, I know we see scenes on TV of other stuff happening, but you know, that's the fun of it, really. That's the joy of football, bringing everyone together, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Poland fans may have a better reputation. Certainly, they've got their own hardcore ultras, but from what I've seen this year, nothing to be further from the truth. It really was a fantastic day, you know, and. Yeah, I mean, you had to see it to believe it. You know, it was just so funny. So it was so heartening as well. Just funny, just great crack, great entertainment, you know. And I mean, there was a police presence about, but they never just stand back. They were laughing and, you know, and carrying on. And, you know, some of them had scarves on them. And, you know, it was just, you know, it's just a party, you know.
Yeah. And I suppose the kind of attention turns now to Ukraine on Thursday, as you said. How do you fare Northern Ireland's chances against Ukraine, getting a result against Ukraine?
It's the one game that we've always targeted as we have to win. And I don't think there's any other option on it. I mean, we could draw that and beat Germany, but that's not going to happen. You know, we need to beat Ukraine. The players are disappointed, going by some of the comments on Twitter. The players are very disappointed in themselves. So I think that alone, they'll put in a much better performance. They'll be stronger from the start. The occasion won't get to them because they've experienced that occasion once before. You know, so they'll go into it a lot more relaxed, hopefully more confident in themselves, and just go for it. Because, I mean, you might as well win 1-0, you know, and get the points or go for it and lose 2-3-4-0. But at least you've left nothing behind.
Yeah.
And so they have to come off the pitch on Thursday night, having left nothing behind, and just give it their all. And if we do that, nobody's going to criticize them. But certainly it's a must win. I can't see any way back if we don't win that.
Now, I kind of want to touch very briefly on there has been some breaking news today, and that unfortunately is of the sad accidental death of a Northern Irish supporter, Darren Rogers, 24, from Ballymena.
Yeah.
You were telling me kind of just before we started talking that he was from your home area, I believe.
Yeah, he's from Ballymena, the same town as my town. I would know a lot of people who know him, and were just, I personally didn't know him, but a lot of people, you know, just total shock. You know, from what I can gather, he was a football nut. He absolutely loved the sport. He plays for one of the local junior teams, and he'd been talking about this for weeks and months in advance, you know, really looking forward to it. That's just what can you say? It's tragedy, you know.
It kind of puts things in perspective, and I suppose Gareth McCauley was saying on Twitter, you think things are bad, then learn one of your own loses his life last night. Thoughts with the family and friends. There seems to be quite a lot of support from the team and from the community as well, both North and South of Ireland.
Yeah, just before you rang, I was reading online that something planned for the Sweden game tonight. Possibly a minute's applause. I think it was on the 24th minute. I think he was 24. So, the 24th minute tonight. And that has gone down well with a lot of fans I've been speaking to. You know, there's almost like a solidarity there.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, different teams, but it's one of our own.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, on Thursday night, I think something similar will be planned for the Ukraine game. But yeah, it's great to see fans from both teams on the island here, you know, sort of embracing the spirit of being a football fan.
Yeah. Well, look, Martin, the best of luck on Thursday. You're going back over again to see the Ukraine match. You're doing a kind of a quick round trip, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's going to be another, hopefully not 24 hours this time. I'm thinking leaving here at 5 o'clock as opposed to 3 o'clock as it was yesterday, so hopefully we'll be back a wee bit sooner as well, but certainly it's going to be there and back on the same day, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Perfect. Look, Martin, safe journey and best of luck, man. Best of luck.
No problem. Thanks very much.
from the heart of Brighton, a taste of home.
You know, it's like people, general public, who maybe don't have the chance to read music magazines or wouldn't go to a lot of smaller gigs, are being force-fed this You know, it's true though. Yeah. And you kind of want to go, you want to scream, no, no, no. You think that's good? Where do you hear this?
Brighton's weekly Irish radio show, What's the Crack? With Anthony Martin on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.